Departure with a Belly. Chapter 131. When Claudia saw Alaric, she was startled. Then, it turned to excitement as she got off the bed and approached him. "Why are you here all of a sudden, Al? How's Grandma doing? Was the surgery successful?" However, she realized he had a cold expression when she stood before him. In that split second, she thought about what Elaine and Christopher had done. Although she felt guilty about it, she didn't dare show it on her face. She needed to calm down and prevent Alaric from sensing something wrong. "Grandma is fine. What about you?" Alaric asked coldly. "What?" Claudia's heart skipped a beat, wondering if she had heard him wrong. Did he just ask about me? While she was in thought, Alaric spoke up. "Where are your friends?" He scanned the whole room. "Do you know where they went?" "I'm not sure." Claudia shook her head and bit her lips. "They must have gone out to look for me when I was gone. Is that so?" She didn't know what he was implying. Just as she thought she was being exposed, Alaric said nothing more and was quiet. However, his gaze made her shiver in fear. This was the first time she felt like Alaric was a stranger. He was eyeing her with those wary eyes. "No, how can this happen?" thought Claudia. She felt as if her heart had broken into pieces. She couldn't stand the way Alaric looked at her and asked softly, "What's up with you? Did something happen?" "I'm sorry. Are you mad because I snuck out to see Grandma?" As she spoke, she reached out and gently tugged on the hem of his shirt. "Please don't be mad at me, Al." Alaric lowered his eyes and looked at her hands. Then, he slowly pried them off. Claudia staggered and almost fell when Alaric pulled her hands away. "I'll ask you again. Are you sure you don't know where they are?" "Yes. I assure you that I have no clue." Claudia shook her head. "Is there anything you want from them, Al? Did they do something to upset you again? If that's the case, I'll give them a call and scold them, okay? Don't be angry." If it were any other day, Alaric would find Claudia pitiful and think of himself as unreasonable for saying such a thing. However, it was different this time as they had crossed the line and hurt Victoria. "Yes, they've upset me. If you want to scold them, do it now." He smirked coldly. Claudia was baffled by his words, for she never expected him to be so straightforward. Then, she fell silent for a moment before asking, "Who? Whom should I call?" Mockery flashed across Alaric's eyes as he spoke. "What do you think? I don't understand what you are talking about." Claudia's face was pale. Although she was nervous about his interrogations, she was also excited at the same time. "With Alaric being angry and having his suspicions about me, that could only mean one thing: Victoria must have lost the child. It doesn't matter if Alaric feels sorry or sad toward Victoria because of the unborn baby, the threat is gone. Plus, it won't make sense for him not to divorce her just because of a miscarriage." As she thought about this, she felt it was the right move to take the risk. Elaine was normally a bad, tempered person. To put it bluntly, she was dumb and had no sense of right and wrong. Thus, she was the perfect candidate for Claudia to use as a tool. That was why Claudia had allowed Elaine to stay by her side. Never did she expect that Elaine would indeed be of help. On the other hand, since Christopher loved her, she felt it would be fine for him to suffer slightly for her. Don't you understand? Coldness filled Alaric's eyes. He gripped her chin with his cold fingers and said, "I've always trusted you because you saved my life, Claudia. That is why I treat you with respect. However, that doesn't mean you can lie to me." As he spoke, he tightened his grip, and Claudia could feel the pain coming from her chin. In that split second, besides his cold fingers, she could sense an intimidating aura coming off him. This was the first time this had happened, and Claudia couldn't believe that Alaric would treat her like this. "Hasn't he always trusted me? Why did things become like this?" As she thought about it, she felt a pang in her chest, and tears rolled down her eyes. In just mere seconds, Claudia was a crying mess. "I don't understand what you're talking about, Al. When did Lever lie to you? If it's because I didn't get your permission before sneaking out to see Grandma, I have already apologized. Moreover, I didn't tell anyone about my whereabouts since I didn't want anyone to know. I was planning to return after taking a look. Is that too much to ask for? I don't understand what I've done wrong, Alaric." Claudia bit her lips and sobbed. Looking at her reaction, Alaric frowned and wondered if he had wrongly accused her. Then, he released her and relayed what Elaine and Christopher did. Initially, Claudia was upset because Alaric had accused her of lying. However, when she heard his words, she was stunned. After some time, her eyes widened. She quickly wiped her tears away and grabbed his arm. "I'm sorry. I didn't know about this. How's Victoria? Is she all right?" As she spoke, she released his arm and was going to walk out of the room bare feet. "I'm going to check on her. Wait." Before she was able to leave, Alaric called out to her. Thus, she stopped in her tracks and looked at him. "Sorry, I might be too anxious. I'm just worried about Victoria. I didn't expect such a thing to happen. Let's go and check on her, Al." Hearing her words, Alaric had a grim expression since he recalled that Bane was taking care of her. "It's fine. Someone is taking care of her. She's now resting in the hospital. That's great. How is she, though? Did she get hurt? I'm sorry about what happened. I didn't think Elaine and Christopher would have done such a thing," said Claudia. As she spoke, Alaric stared at her intently, trying not to miss out on any details of her expression. After she was done speaking, he said in a low voice, "She is fine. However, she'll need a check up to know more about her condition." At that moment, Claudia seemed to freeze. "Hasn't she gone through a..." Chapter 132. What does he mean by that? Hasn't Victoria done a check up yet? Does that mean she's fine? After all, the only way she doesn't need to do a check up is because she isn't in a severe situation. This isn't right. After all, she would have lost a lot of blood if the baby was gone. As she thought about it, Alaric's voice snapped her back to her senses. She has already done a check up. At that moment, She felt shivers crawling up her spine. She's already gone through a check, up, yet nothing is wrong with her. In other words, Alaric probably knows that she is pregnant. If that's the case, does he know I deleted the message? If he knows about it, then... As Claudia thought about it, she trembled in fear. In the meantime, Alaric did not miss any slight expression on her face. He narrowed his eyes when he saw that Claudia's expression had changed after he mentioned the check, up. What's wrong? Are you worried because she has not done a check, up? Claudia returned to her senses and forced a smile on her face. Of course. I'm certainly worried about her. After all, Elaine and Christopher did such a horrible thing to her. Since Elaine is my close friend, I'm also responsible for this. No, I have to stay calm. Although Victoria has already done a check, up, that doesn't mean they've found out about her pregnancy. At the very least, I need to keep calm before Alaric clarifies things between us, she thought. You are responsible for this. I'm pretty sure I warned you before not to let her come again, right? Hearing his words, Claudia didn't say anything. Have you forgotten? Asked Alaric. SH*T. Claudia hadn't thought much about this. She knew that Elaine had offended Alaric, and that was why she told Elaine to stay out of Alaric's sight whenever he was around. However, since Alaric hadn't been at the hospital for the past few days, she allowed Elaine to come and go as she wished. After all, she still needed the latter's help. Al, I'm sorry. I didn't forget it. It's just that we have been friends for such a long time, and she insisted on visiting me because of my injury. I can't say no to her, can I? Plus, I thought she only argued with Victoria because of her bad temper. I didn't know she would kidnap her. Don't worry. Now that I know what a terrible person she is, I won't stay in contact with her anymore. After Claudia said many things to prove her loyalty, she realized that Alaric was still looking at her with the same cold eyes. At that moment, her heart dropped. Why are you looking at me like that, Al? Do you not trust me? Alaric pursed his lips and said nothing. While looking into his eyes, Claudia put on a mocking smile and said, I see. You don't trust me at all. Only then did Alaric say, if anyone wants to hurt Victoria, they have to do it when I'm not around. When the incident happened, you went missing. That was why I was forced to leave her side to look for you. The timestamp between your disappearance and the incident matches, Claudia. I've told you before that I trust you because you saved my life. Thus, you'd better admit it if you're the one behind this. What should I admit to? Claudia smiled bitterly. Should I admit the things that I did not do? You said that I was the one who made you leave her, but weren't your parents by her side back then? Do you think I'm able to predict when they'd leave her side too? As she spoke, tears started to fall again. You just don't believe me. You think that my disappearance wasn't a coincidence, yet. I didn't mean to leave at that time. It was because of Grandma's surgery. I just wanted to check up on her. Yeah, it was during Grandma's surgery, and you knew it as well. That's why you used the opportunity to cover up your tracks, Alaric replied calmly. At that moment, Claudia's face went pale, and she staggered. I see. You have already convicted me long ago. You never trust me. Why don't you believe me, Al? Is it because I deliberately hurt myself to save my reputation? Is that why you think I'm a vicious woman? Hearing her words, Alaric squinted his eyes and said, "So you finally admit that you hurt yourself intentionally, huh?" Claudia trembled and replied, "I admitted it the last time, didn't I? I will admit the things I did, but why should I also take the blame for things that I didn't do? We have known each other for a long time. I hurt myself instead of others to protect my reputation. Moreover, I even risked my life to save you. Victoria is your friend, and she has a fake marriage with you to put Grandma at ease. I'm grateful for what she's done, so why would I ever hurt her?" Alaric's determination swayed at her words. After all, Claudia had indeed risked her life to save him. If things went downhill, she might have even drowned in the river. Thus, she wouldn't have saved him if she had been vicious and selfish. No matter what, Claudia saving him would forever be a soft spot for Alaric. He couldn't force himself to accuse her after she had mentioned it. Thinking about this, he took out a handkerchief and gave it to her. "I'm sorry. I was worked up." Claudia stood there without moving as her tears continued to fall. Technically speaking, if he had realized his mistakes, he would have helped me wipe my tears away when he saw that I was a crying mess. Yet, is he starting to get impatient with me? After all, he is unwilling to make such a small gesture. Instead, he just handed me his handkerchief. Does that mean he still doesn't trust me? As Claudia thought about it, she was upset. Initially, she would mention saving him in the past when he had doubts about her, and he would become soft-hearted. She was right. Whenever she brought this up, Alaric wouldn't hold on to the matter anymore. Nonetheless, Victoria was still pregnant. Thus, not only did her plan fail, but she also wasted a favor. Although Claudia knew she could bring it up no matter what, Alaric might soon be tired of hearing it. Claudia couldn't help but feel scared. After thinking it through, she didn't dare throw a tantrum and took Alaric's handkerchief to wipe her tears. Then, she said softly, "Al, I don't care what the others say about me trying to hurt Victoria. However, if you are on their side too," she lowered her eyes and looked devastated. "Plus, my face is ruined. If you don't believe me, I don't know what's the point of living anymore." Chapter 133. Let me go. I am not his accomplice. He was the one who planned everything out. You guys have gotten the wrong person. At the police station, Elaine screamed as she tried to struggle out of the restraint. Hours had passed since Elaine had been captured. Initially, she thought the police would let her go after investigating the incident. However, she never expected that she wouldn't have the chance to leave as soon as she entered the police station. Moreover, Christopher looked defeated, seemingly as if he was done fighting back. Furthermore, he even admitted that he and Elaine were accomplices. "I'll ask you again. Did you plan this kidnapping with Elaine Sutcliffe?" "Yes." Christopher nodded. "Is there anyone else aside from her?" When Elaine heard the police's words, she subconsciously thought about Claudia. However, before she could react and say anything, Christopher denied it. "No. It's just the two of us." Elaine looked at him in disbelief. At that moment, a glint flashed across the interrogator's eyes when he noticed her reaction. Then, he looked at her and asked, "Is he telling the truth, Miss Sutcliffe? Were you two the only ones who planned this kidnapping?" "No, he is lying. He did everything." "It has nothing to do with me," Elaine quickly explained. The police noticed that she was worked up. Since they couldn't get anything out of them, they could only separate the duo and investigate them individually. Soon, they were taken away. Before Elaine left, she continued shouting, "I want to see Claudia. She is my friend. She can prove my innocence. Christopher was the one who planned this. We all heard it when he said he would get revenge on Victoria." Hearing her words, the police got new information and quickly investigated it. In the meantime, Victoria was sleeping in the ward. Although she was being treated, she felt tense the entire day. Thus, as soon as she relaxed her mind, she fell into a deep sleep. Beside her, Bane looked at her with soft eyes. After some time, he bent down and tucked the bed sheets for her before calling the nurse. When the nurse removed the needle, Bane stood beside her. After the nurse was done, he even warmed Victoria's hands before putting them back under the sheets. Seeing that Bane was tall and handsome, the nurse recalled that many of her colleagues were discussing him when he came. They said that Bane had carried a beautiful woman bridal style into the hospital. The girl had long hair and looked gorgeous. It was like a scene from a romance movie. Thus, many people were secretly looking at him. More importantly, another handsome man came over as well. One of the men was soft and gentle, while the other was cold and alluring. They were both good looking. Plus, according to an insider, the duo came from the riches. At that moment, many people were envious. Thinking about this, the nurse took another glance at Bane and said, "You treat your girlfriend well, sir." Bane paused his actions when he heard her words. After some time, he smiled and looked at the nurse. "Although she isn't my girlfriend yet, I'm grateful for what you said. I will try to make her mine as soon as possible." In that split second, the nurse was envious of Victoria after hearing such charismatic words. "I see. They are not a couple, but he still treats her with love. Plus, his voice is so soft when he explained it to me. He even thanked me. How in the world does such a gentle person exist?" Just as the nurse was in a daze, someone opened the door. Alaric entered the room with a cold aura, and his expression was as cold as ice. As soon as he entered the room, he immediately looked at Victoria. Then, he scanned his surroundings before landing his gaze on Bane. After some time, he said coldly, "I'm here to take her home." "Home?" The nurse was surprised when she heard that. She wondered if Alaric was Victoria's boyfriend since he put it that way. On the other hand, Bane didn't seem to be affected by Alaric's words. He was still as gentle as before. "You can take her home, but she needs to rest first." Hearing his words, Alaric had a grim expression. Before he entered the room, he had overheard Bane's words. In that split second, he felt the urge to take Victoria home immediately. However, he knew that it would affect Victoria if he did so. Still, he didn't want to leave her alone with Bane. Everything would be fine if she slept until he came. However, he couldn't imagine what would have happened if she woke up midway and heard the nonsense Bane said. Alaric didn't think any further and took a chair. He placed it on the other side of the bed and sat down, facing Bane. He would not leave when Bane was trying to get his hands on Victoria. Thus, the duo sat across from each other. The nurse didn't expect to see such a scene and was thrilled. She would have stayed to see what would happen if it weren't for work. Unfortunately, she had work to do and needed to leave. After telling them about the procedures, the nurse left. With the three of them inside the room, it was quiet. While the men looked at each other with hostility, Victoria slept soundly, unaffected by the outside world. After some time, Bane suddenly smiled at Alaric and asked softly, "Did you find out anything?" Alaric knew what he was talking about. He pursed his lips and said unhappily, "This has nothing to do with her." Bane wasn't surprised and smiled. "It looks like love can blind a person's mind and senses. Don't you think so, Al? What are you trying to say?" Alaric glared at him. "Nothing. I'm unsurprised that you would say such a thing since you care for Claudia so much. However, I must tell you this, Al. I'll have someone look into this matter, and it better not have anything to do with her. Otherwise, I'm afraid what happens next will ruin our friendship." Bane was telling Alaric that he would make Claudia pay the price if she was involved in hurting Victoria. "Are you defending Victoria?" "Of course. Shouldn't I defend her since I love her?" "It's just like how you defend Claudia," Bane retorted. Hearing his words, Alaric frowned and asked, "When have I defended her?" Chapter 134. "I'm not blaming you for anything, Al. I understand why you're defending Claudia. After all, the feelings you have for her are the same as I have for Victoria. Thus, it is normal to defend her." Bane chuckled. Alaric frowned and pursed his lips. He could tell that Bane kept mentioning Victoria while putting Claudia with him together. He was trying to be on the same line as Victoria and secretly helping her cut ties with him. As Alaric thought about it, his eyes were filled with hostility. He gritted his teeth and tried to make a comeback. However, he realized he couldn't say anything. After some time, Bane thought of something and said, "I'm sorry. Was I being too straightforward?" Alaric was speechless by his actions. After so many years of friendship, this was the first time Alaric felt that Bane was hard to deal with. Meanwhile, Victoria had a dream. She dreamt she was in the ward while Alaric and Bane talked on each side of the bed. She could vaguely see them arguing, but she didn't know what they were arguing about. She tried to read their lips but to no avail. She couldn't make anything out of it. Thus, she gave up. However, when she woke up, she noticed that her dream wasn't just a dream. As soon as she opened her eyes, she saw two people sitting on each side of the bed. When Victoria felt their gazes on her, she froze momentarily before closing her eyes. "I must be having too many dreams. That is why I can't differentiate between dreams and reality." On the other hand, Alaric's expression turned cold when he saw Victoria closing her eyes after looking at him. he wondered if she was unwilling to see him. In the meantime, Bain smiled and said to her, "Don't pretend to be asleep if you are already awake, Vixie." Alaric was even more upset when he heard the pet name he gave her. Yet, Victoria opened her eyes after hearing Bane's words. Alaric was speechless. "This is real. It's not a dream," thought Victoria as she sat up while clutching her head. "Why are you guys here?" She thought she was dreaming, but it seemed to be reality. Victoria was confused. "If this were a dream, I wouldn't have woken up midway, right? As far as I can recall, Alaric wasn't here when I fell asleep." "I'm worried about you," Bain said softly. As soon as his words fell, Alaric cut him off and said gruffly, "If you are awake, get up. We are going home." "Home?" Victoria looked at Alaric and seemed confused. Her reaction made Alaric even angrier. However, he suppressed his emotions since Bain was here. "Yes. Don't you want to see Grandma?" Victoria kept quiet at the mention of Griselda. On the other hand, Bain grabbed her coat and phone. "Here are Victoria's belongings." Alaric had a grim expression when he saw it. However, he said nothing and took it. He wondered what Bain was thinking. After all, he admitted he had feelings for Victoria, yet he was willing to let Alaric take her home. In addition, he was even being considerate and gave him her belongings. However, Alaric soon knew his intentions. Just as Bain gave Alaric the belongings, Victoria thanked him gratefully while Bain smiled at her adoringly. "It's fine. Remember to get some rest once you're at home, all right?" "Okay." In that split second, Alaric looked at Bain speechlessly. He never knew Bain had a way with words. However, he couldn't care less and walked toward Victoria with a coat in his hand. Initially, Victoria was going to wear it herself, but Alaric dodged her arm. Victoria was confused. Before she could say anything, Alaric spoke up. "I'll help you." Hearing his words, Victoria didn't know what to say. "Why does he want to help me all of a sudden? Can't I wear it on my own?" Before she was able to say anything, Alaric's cold voice sounded. "Hands." At first, Victoria wanted to refuse. After all, Bain was still in the room and knew they were getting a divorce. After all, Griselda was done with her surgery. In other words, things had come to an end between her and Alaric. Thus, she didn't feel the need to put up the act anymore. However, as she met his gaze, she couldn't say no. Therefore, as the two men stared at her, she slowly raised her hands and allowed Alaric to help her with the coat. Since the coat had been out in the air for too long, it was cold. Thus, Victoria couldn't help but shiver when she sensed the cold. Looking at her reaction, Alaric paused momentarily before taking off the coat again. "What is it now?" Victoria was confused. Then, Alaric threw her coat aside and took off his jacket. At that moment, Victoria was speechless. Before she could think any further, Alaric draped the coat around her shoulder. The coat was warm and cozy. Victoria was startled when she returned to her senses and realized what he had done. "Did he just give me his jacket because I was shivering from the cold?" Thinking about this, she got off the bed. However, As soon as her feet touched the ground, Alaric carried her. In that split second, Victoria wrapped her arms around his neck out of instinct. Bane's eyes darkened when he saw the scene. However, he still looked calm and seemingly unaffected. Since Alaric had to carry Victoria, he couldn't take any other stuff. Thus, he called out to Peter, who was waiting for him. "Come in and help me take some stuff, Mr. Levan." When Peter heard Alaric's voice, he thought, "I finally have something to do." Then, he quickly rushed into the room and took Victoria's stuff. Looking at Bane, Alaric tightened his grip on Victoria. "We're leaving," he said to Bane. Bane smiled and nodded. "I won't be walking you out, then. Stay safe." He acted like they were best friends and were not fighting now. Alaric glanced at him before looking away. Then, he left while carrying Victoria. Before Victoria left, she met Bane's eyes. Only when the latter nodded his head did she avert her gaze. "I'm sure Bane will be able to do what he promised me, right?" As she thought about it, she felt Alaric's chest rumble as he spoke. "What's wrong? Are you not willing to leave?" Chapter 135. After Victoria came to her senses, she quietly shook her head, but as soon as she thought of something, she withdrew her hand that was still clinging to Alaric's neck. However, before she could move away, Alaric commanded coldly, "Hold on tight." Truth be told, Victoria didn't want to obey him, so he deliberately loosened his grip on her when she was about to let go after sensing her intention. Almost reflexively, Victoria hooked her arm around his neck even tighter. Her wrist was delicate and fair, forming a vivid contrast against his skin. It wasn't until she realized what she had just done that her expression changed. Alaric, on the other hand, smirked when he felt the delicacy of her skin. "Hold on tight, and don't fall." This time, Victoria didn't let go, instead falling into her thoughts and occasionally glancing up at Alaric. The man walked effortlessly with her in his arms, his breath and steps both steady. From her angle, she could see the smooth and delicate contour of Alaric's jawline, as well as his slightly curved thin lips that had yet to retract. She became confused. If he hadn't answered her calls today, no, if he hadn't answered her calls last time, she would have already given up on him. What was Alaric doing now? Did he even know what he was doing? They were both headed toward divorce, yet he still acted so flirtatiously. Conversely, Peter huffed and puffed as he followed behind with their belongings. The sight of his boss embracing Victoria made his smiling face almost impossible to hide. "This is how you should act as a perfect couple. My boss has finally come to his senses, asking me to grab their things just so he could carry Miss Victoria out. Hopefully, he will end his affair with Claudia. I never want a new lady boss to join the Cadogan group." After he delivered the items to the car, he watched as Alaric held Victoria fight, and don't fall and sat inside, then he waved goodbye to them as they left. The car's air conditioning was turned on during their journey back, so it was much cooler in the car than outside. While wrapped in Alaric's coat, Victoria sat in silence. The temperature of the car made her feel drowsy. Just when she was about to lean against the seat to take a nap, Alaric, who was driving, spoke up. "What do you think of Bane?" Hearing him speak, Victoria's drowsiness subsided slightly as she turned to look at him. What? Alaric's thin lips twitched as he questioned coldly, "He saved you. Aren't you grateful for him?" "Of course," Victoria nodded without hesitation. "He rushed to save her, took her to the hospital for an examination, and took care of her attentively. Most importantly, he found out about her pregnancy but chose to help her keep it a secret from Alaric." Such respect and understanding made Victoria deeply grateful. Seeing how she admitted to it without any hesitation, his brows furrowed tightly. "Do you like him?" Thinking that she heard some kind of ridiculous joke, Victoria squinted at him. "What does my gratitude have to do with liking him?" Alaric pursed his lips and replied impulsively, "If you don't like him, why did you let him stay by your bedside? You even slept so peacefully for such a long time. Weren't you afraid he might have had other intentions?" At this, Victoria had no more doubts. No wonder he acted so strangely in front of Bane today. Did he mistake my feelings and assume I like Bane? So, that's the case. She initially thought he was flirting with her, but it turned out that she was just being presumptuous. With this in mind, Victoria closed her eyes and retorted without reservation, "He saved me, but apart from being grateful to him, I don't feel anything else for him at the moment." "You don't need to worry about that. After all, people like you are rare." As soon as she finished speaking, the car fell silent. Victoria suddenly felt that she might have gone too far, but after thinking about it, since he was already suspicious of her feelings for Bane, saying a few words to him shouldn't be a problem. If he wants to get mad, let him be. After all, Grandma has already finished her surgery, so there's nothing for me to worry about. Sure enough, Alaric sulked all the way afterward, not saying a single word. Instead of getting out of the car as soon as Victoria arrived at her house, she asked, "How is Grandma doing now?" "She's okay." Alaric paused for a moment before he spoke. "That's good. How long does she need to be observed?" 48 hours. After that, both of them fell silent for a long time and thought of something simultaneously. "Well," Victoria looked at Alaric and said softly, 48 hours is a bit rushed. How about 3 days later?" Hearing this, he looked at her. In the dimly lit car, Victoria's expression remained calm. Her pale lips added a touch of sickly beauty and delicacy. Meanwhile, Alaric's thin lips pursed in a straight line. Just moments ago, she was cuddled up against his neck in his arms. But here she was, wearing his coat and discussing the day they would file for divorce. He ought to consent to it, for they previously agreed that once his grandma's surgery was completed, this fake marriage would no longer be valid. However, for some reason, Alaric's heart was quietly rebelling as if a voice was urging him not to get a divorce. Once they got divorced, he would lose her completely. "Grandma's condition will probably stabilize within 3 days. We'll get the divorce certificate first, then let's wait a little longer," said Alaric, cutting her off all of a sudden. Victoria was stunned by what she heard. "What? What for? Shouldn't he be eager to get a divorce? That way, he can finally be with Claudia." "Yeah," he answered in a hoarse voice, his eyes gloomy. Let's wait a little longer. Grandma needs time to recover after the surgery. If we divorce too early, I'm afraid it will affect her health. She remained silent and thought about it. Alaric's reasoning seemed valid, and there didn't seem to be any problem with waiting a few more days. What's wrong? Alaric asked when she said nothing for a long time, the light in his eyes darkening. Can't you wait a few more days? Are you in a hurry? Hearing him, Victoria came back to her senses and shook her head. No, I think you're right. Let's wait a few more days. I didn't think it through. Grandma's body does need time to recover. Her understanding attitude left Alaric speechless once again. It was as if she had thought through the consequences and only agreed to postpone the divorce out of rationality. Suddenly, an unfamiliar pain made Alaric pause for a moment as it radiated throughout his body.